Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. We are in a bit of a, I guess you could say like a series or a trilogy in the last little bit, where I did a show about after play and before the foreplay, and now we're doing everyday intimacy, and then I have another one in the series coming up as well. One or two, actually. It was like an unintentional series that got sparked by the after play show. And it's actually kind of fun because after I did that after play show, I've had a few people who I've been talking with who really needed to know and connect with that information. And I love when that happens with these episodes, that I can then go, here you go, this, you know, listen to this and tell me what you get out of it. And we can go from there. So if you happen to be one of my clients, you might find that I do that sometimes. I will refer you to episodes so that, you know, you can have more insight and you can listen to things over and over again. And if you're like, hey, wait a second, I could be your client. Yeah, you could be my client. I do vet people, and maybe I'm not a fit for you, but, or maybe you're not a fit for me, but absolutely. If you're thinking, hey, that could be fun, maybe I'd like to work with that wacky, wild Milica for whatever reason, definitely connect with me. You can find me through my website, MilicaJelinic.com. And, you know, we can figure out a time and go from there. And so on this particular episode, we're going to be talking about everyday intimacy. And everyday intimacy is, you know, the kind of thing that we all need. And this is, everyday intimacy can also be with somebody that, you know, is just like a really good friend, or it could be, everyday intimacy doesn't have to be with somebody that you're having sex with. Intimacy is where we allow ourselves to show up fully as ourselves, and where we allow ourselves to be vulnerable with our friends and our people, you know. And this, you know, generally these shows are geared towards relationships or for your own self-discovery so that you can be in a relationship. But just can keep in mind, relationship doesn't mean that you have to have sex with somebody. So this can be very much about developing a sense of how to be with people, how to be even with your friends, and how to be with whoever, and find ways that you can connect with each other on a deeper level. And some of those things that I'll be talking about today, just think about how, when I talk about them, that they are going to be reflected on today as in like how to operate in relationships. But by all means, reflect on like relationships that are more physically intimate, sexual, sex included kind of relationships, rather than like, say, friendships that aren't sex included friendships. And but think about how you can utilize some of these same things to develop deeper connections with friendships and family and all that sort of thing. So we will be specifically talking about couples in this sense, but just know that a lot of this stuff can be translated over. So some of the key things that we're going to tap into today are just, how do you connect with someone? Because I find when I'm working with clients in general that a lot of people are losing sense of how do you connect. And after a while, if you've been in a relationship for, you know, a few months, years, decades, there's kind of like a thing that happens where people start to just take it for granted that that person's going to be around. So a lot of these things that I'll be talking about, you know, micro gestures that you can give to enhance the relationship and keep it going, a lot of those fall to the wayside. And a lot of times they just get completely ignored. And they're not, without having a lot of these things in our lives, these micro gestures, you can often feel neglected or unloved. So we bring these in so that you can feel loved. And a lot of them will have, you'll probably notice a lot of them have to do with the five love languages. And how do we bring those, all those concepts from the five love languages, all those concepts from the five love languages, and have them be translated into all the things we can do for people on a daily basis to have better relationships, to build that everyday intimacy. Because that everyday intimacy is what keeps your relationship alive and it keeps interest going. And it is also what becomes an invitation to somebody choosing to want to have physical sex with you as well, you know, or energetic too. So we'll dive into all of that. And the reason why I talk about all of this stuff is because I have a deep desire to share with the world that we can get out of our trauma stories and our trauma drama stories and all of our stresses and all of that. And there are ways we can do that. And there are tools that I have that I share with you that I have used myself that we can use so that we can get out of these trauma stories and trauma in our bodies and be able to have more pleasure. Because the kind of the opposite of trauma is pleasure. And in order to be able to have pleasure, we need to be able to work out our traumas, whether it's talking about things or moving it out of your body. And I think combination of all of that is really important. And then having and knowing what the center of your life is, what is your life centered on, so that you always have a grounding point, whether your center of your life is your spiritual beliefs or your center of your life is focused on gardening, whatever it happens to be. If you have a center to your life that you have something that you trust that you can go back to all the time, it will always bring you back on track. So we need those centers to our lives. So some people pray, some people meditate, some people garden. It doesn't really matter what you're doing, and maybe you do all three of those, or more. Maybe you exercise, and that's the center of your life. And as long as you have a center, you can keep on getting yourself grounded, rerooted, and routed, rooted, rooted, not like route yet, rooting, like so you're very grounded. And you can do all that, and then you can have that sense of everyday intimacy. So your body is happy to be connected. So we're going to talk about some of those simple rituals because I think what happens too is people get start to feel daunted by the idea of, oh my God, now I have to do something. Now I've got to go and change my whole life. I don't have time. That's often what I hear is, I don't have time for that. If you don't have 3 minutes in your day to have better intimacy with your partner, then something's going on in your life. If your life is that hectic, you got to look at what is going on. Are you mismanaging your time? Are you mismanaging your choices? And what are your priorities? Because if you are not prioritizing your relationship, it will go away. And if you cannot invest 3 minutes a day in your partner for something simple to connect with them, your partner will walk away. It does not take a lot to make somebody feel loved and seen. What it takes is you choosing it and actually committing to that and doing it on a regular basis. So if you are listening and you're one of those people who are like, but I've been thinking about them, stop. You know, it's great you're thinking about them, but make a gesture, actually call or write, text, answer the effing message that they sent you because you need to show them that you care. Rather than just feeling it, you need to actually show in some way, whether it's through words of affirmation, whether it's through quality time, through touch, through gifts, acts of service. You need to be practicing those five love languages on a regular basis with your partner in order for them to have that sense of everyday intimacy. And you can do it in really small ways. You can do it through really simple things. And we're going to play with about 10 different simple ideas that you can add to your life. Just, you know, because sometimes people don't have any ideas. I'm going to give you 10 ideas that you can use in your life to be able to have more everyday intimacy. And when I give you these tools, they're not these things that you're just going to go, oh yeah, now I know that. You know something and utilize it, because until you utilize it, it's not going to be useful. All right, so we're going to head to our first commercial break here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, sweet pleasure seekers. This is Milica Jelinic, and you are listening to The Pleasure Zone on Inspired Choices Network. And today we're talking about everyday intimacy. And what is everyday intimacy? To me, everyday intimacy are all those things that we can do on a daily basis that are not sexual. They're all the ways that we remind our partners that we love them. And if you are solo, it's to do every day, remind yourself that you are lovable. What can you do for you that can develop intimacy with yourself? And I will give you ideas that are things that would be gestures that you would do for other people, but always remember these are for you first. So when we look at some daily things you could do, let's bring out our, my favorite five love languages. So we've got acts of service. Actually, today my husband did an act of service that was so sexy. For a few days, we have a cabin on our property where we have clients. I have clients come and sometimes they stay for a weekend or a night or whatever, and I work out of there on a daily basis for my private practice. And in that cabin, we have like an off-grid bathroom, and the off-grid bathroom has a composting toilet. And for a couple of days, I was like, hey, and can you just dig a hole for me? Because it's not like my strength. Can you just dig a hole for me so I can like empty out the composting toilet? I know this is going to be disgusting to some of you, but anyways. And so this afternoon, just before a client was coming, about 45 minutes before, I was like, hey, do you happen to have time now that you could dig that hole for me so I can go clean out the toilet? And my husband was like, actually, I just came back from doing that. I'm like, cool, where's the hole? He's like, no, I cleaned it all. Like, I did the whole toilet. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, that is what a gesture. Thank you so much. And he was like, I know you're busy and I know you needed that done, so I did that for you. That, my friends, is a gesture of kindness. It's also an act of service, which is a love language. And it's his way of showing me that he loves me, which for some people, they would just be like, well, he should just do it anyways, because it's not his job to do it. It's actually mostly my clients who are out there, and it's mostly my responsibility in my eyes to look after what's going on in there with cleaning it and everything like that, because I'm the one using it. So when he's helping me, I'm unbelievably grateful for that. And that gratitude, you know what, guys? Gratitude helps to have somebody want to continue to gift to you, and whether it's acts of service or whatever they do. So it's not necessarily one of our jobs. It's not. It's just that I do that work because I'm in there, right? So just like I don't clean his space up where he does, building things because that's his space and I don't want to move his things around where he wouldn't know where his drills are or something. So he does his thing, I do my thing. So those little micro gestures can help build a sense of a few things. So I can tell you what it does for me. It helps me to feel A, I'm seen and I'm heard. I asked for something, it got delivered. And I was not only heard, but I was seen in that my husband saw that I've been busy and that I haven't really had time to do that, and that it was going to take me to have assistance on doing it to get it accomplished. So he saw me, he heard me, he took action, and he did it from a place of love. So if somebody's doing that, would you not assume that that is going, well, it's not that we should assume, but do you not see how that would actually build more and more a sense of intimacy and connection, and it helps you feel like secure in your relationship where you feel safe, like somebody knows you and knows what your needs are. Because A, I had the wherewithal to say this is what I need, and it got followed through. So when somebody's got your back, you can actually feel like solid. Just like when you have support, like back support, if you need, say, if you've got something going on physically in your back and you need back support and you get back support, your back just relaxes into the back support. Same thing happens with people. We have people who are like our back support that when they actually give us a little support there, like a little, space or pressure in that area where we need the back support, then our bodies can just relax into that. So even though that might not have looked to other people like that was a gesture of love, when you know what somebody's love languages are, languages is, when you know what their primary love languages are and they deliver them to you, and if you acknowledge that they deliver your love language to you and you're grateful for that, then guess what? You get more of it. But not only that, then when you see what their love language is, because I know that my husband's is primarily acts of service, that when I do acts of service too, that he feels loved. My primary love language is touch. So I might touch him more than he touches me, but he'll know when I'm having an off day that I might need like a hand on my back or like a touch in a really simple way. But I often need to ask for that. And it's okay to ask for those micro gestures because not everybody's psychic. And even when they are, they might not know if you're going to be receptive to it. So asking, like a little while ago, I had my body was just like freaking exhausted one day. And I just asked Mike, do you happen to have 5 minutes right now that you could do a favor for me where I just need you to touch my back? And he was like, okay. I'm like, I'm going to give you full instructions on exactly what I need. And it's only going to take about 5 minutes. And he was kind of like, all right, sounds fine to me. And I just needed some pressure on my back. And I knew exactly where, because, being a body worker helps so I can give him guidance on what to do for me. Told him like what I needed, and within like less than a minute, my body went from being like on high alert to being totally relaxed. And about 3 minutes later of him just having his presence there, I was able to pass out and have a nap for an hour and a half, which my body so desperately needed. But I was running on such adrenaline that my body couldn't relax, and it was so tense and stressed. So when we know what we need, we can ask for it, and the person can hear us and they can, gift us what we're asking for. Those things build intimacy. They build intimacy because you're able to communicate what you desire, the partner's able to deliver what you're asking for, and then you know what that translates also into the bedroom. So you're asking for what you desire, which is amazing, but then you can also deliver when you start to get that delivered. Then you start to trust more that it's going to get delivered when you're having sex, and you can ask for more things, and then they get delivered or not, but you have the conversation gets open, And as a result, you might even get more curious or more interested in different things. So you can open up to more ideas and more experiences, and just makes life so much easier. So micro gestures, even though they might seem weird, like that toilet story that I just told you about, there are lots of examples where micro gestures can be such a symbol of love. Like every once in a while, and I think I've mentioned this on a show before, my husband like really likes certain treats, and sometimes he goes on like treat benders where he really will like black licorice for a few months, and then he goes off black licorice, and then he really likes chocolate almonds for a while, and then he'll go off that, and then there might be a time where he's like really into cheese and crackers for a while. Anyway, he has these like benders of treats where he goes into something and then he kind of goes off of it for a while, or even in the summer sometimes he's into like iced coffees, or actually it's ice caps. He likes ice caps. So when I know that you know what his trend is for the month and I deliver it, he lights up so much. He lights up like I've just given him like $1 million just by giving him a small gesture of, hey, I know what you like and I'm bringing you a little something. It might only cost me like $3, but it's like as if you've given somebody the world. And it's such a little lovely thing to do for somebody. And sometimes it's just your time. Like, I got a best friend who sometimes she gets lonely and she just needs some time, and she'll just be like, hey, GF, I need some time. And I'm like, got you. And so when you can do that for somebody, it's going to help them feel loved, seen, and heard, right? And then when they feel loved, seen, and heard, what's that going to do? It's going to grow your relationship because they actually trust that you're going to be there for them and that you want to be there for them and that you can be there for them. So it definitely helps. And the more you can do that for people, the better all your relationships are going to be. So it doesn't just have to be, I'm giving you candy so that I'm going to get sex in the end. No, I'm giving you candy because I know you like it and I want to show you that I listen to you. And then I'm bringing you the candy that you like because I know it'll bring you joy and it'll also bring a smile to your face and help you feel seen, heard, and loved. That's why I'm doing it. And as a result, guess what? Then that person is like, wow, I want to do something for you that makes you feel seen, heard, and loved. And it's not that even that's your intention. Your intention could just be, I just really want to deliver something to you that helps you feel seen, heard, and loved. But most people, their natural response is that they want to do something for you too, because people genuinely love the feeling of gifting and seeing somebody get lit up by what they received. And receiving something can help you be lit up as well. And then you want a gift. It's like a cycle and it can be really beautiful. So if we choose to be aware of that and then notice certain things about our partners, so like use all your senses to understand your partner and understand yourself so that you can know what to ask for. When you can use all of your sensory input, you can then give different output. Right. So if you're paying attention and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I noticed that he's like really liking this, this, and this treat, cool. Then I can take that information in and then I can go and get that stuff and then deliver it, which can then change mood or stress. It can change so many things. Like different smells even can change your whole neurology. And it's like when you look at aromatherapy and different smells and how they can calm you or excite you, it's because they're affecting your olfactory system, and that's connected to your brain, and it goes to different parts of your brain and it lights up different parts of your nervous system. And so your body will respond to things, even just like the smell of the black licorice might light up my husband's nervous system to think and feel, wow, I feel loved and seen. And other smells can do the opposite. Like I've talked about on I think it was on my last show about it was either about After Play or it was about the show about I can't remember. It was in one of the last episodes that I talked about how the smell of cigarettes and alcohol really turns me off. But the smell of black licorice actually really does turn me on because I do love black licorice. And I love cinnamon. And there's certain smells that just are like, But those same smells could really turn somebody off. It might bring them reminders of all kinds of things in their life, and it really turns them off. So it's good to know what they like, what they the taste they like, the smells they like. Basically, it helps you learn about a person, but it helps you learn about you too, as well. Like you might find where you have commonalities and differences and things like that. And that can grow intimacy as well. So micro gestures, even though, some would say that cleaning of that toilet that my husband did was a macro gesture. He didn't buy an airplane, guys. He dug a hole and he dumped some stuff in there, covered it up, and what a pro, and thank you so much. But other micro gestures you can do on a regular daily basis is as simple as seeing your partner, and depending on how it is in your house. Like some people don't like small talk in the morning, and they don't like to even talk to anybody. But if your partner's okay with that, and you want to in the morning just say like, "Good morning, I'm so grateful you're alive. So nice to see you. So glad, so happy you're alive today." Sounds silly, but it's actually really fun to say. And I'll bet you the more you say it, the more fun it gets to say, and the more fun it gets for your partner to hear it. It's like, "I'm so grateful you chose to be alive today. I'm so grateful you're here." Like genuinely from your heart that you're grateful for them to be there. Well, is such a sweet gesture. And how long did that take me to say that? A few seconds. "I'm so grateful that you're here today." 4 seconds. I had to look at the timer to see. It's like 4 seconds to say that to your partner. And it could help them just have a better day. Like, who doesn't want to hear that in the morning? Like, "I'm so grateful you're here today. I'm so grateful you're alive." You could start your day with a hug or a kiss, or even, whether it's like a quick hug, I suggest 30-second hugs are the better way to get your nervous system calm. Even just like a kiss on the cheek or a kiss on the shoulder. All of those are good. Like, it just depends on what body part's showing up that day. Sometimes I get goofy and I just turn into a blanket for my husband. Not even necessarily like because I think it's fun to just lie on top of him, but sometimes I can't see the clock without actually crawling over him. And so I'll just lay on top of him and look at the clock. But, it can just be cute, and it becomes like just a thing, and it's fun, and it helps also with for me because I like touch. It helps me to receive touch, and he's like, "Cool, it's effortless. I'm just laying here. Cool, I'll take that." And gratitude, like I was saying, I'm like grateful for the person to be alive. It's really simple, but you can also be grateful for, things about them. Like, "I'm so grateful for your smile, and I'm so grateful for your humor." It's things about them. It's really helpful to share that. When they are doing acts of service for you, and one of their primary love languages is acts of service, acknowledging their act of service, like, "Thank you so much for cleaning the toilet. That really helped me," will also help them feel loved and seen and acknowledge that what they've done for you is been a contribution to your life, and that you see that and you appreciate that contribution. And if you find that you're not having a lot of conversation with your partner, or you're like, "I'm not really into small talk," then, it's like, how is your day can feel like small talk. But if you can ask like, "Hey, did you have any challenges today that you want to talk about?" Or, what were some of your wins of the day? Like, what were some of the things you feel most proud about today? You can share that stuff. I tend to be like an oversharer, so I will like think, I'll have the end of the day, and then I'll basically give my husband the brief. And he's like, unless he's really tired, I'll ask him, I'm like, "Hey, do you want to hear what happened today?" And he's like, "Okay." And sometimes he's like, "I really don't have the bandwidth." And you got to respect that when somebody doesn't have the bandwidth for that, because they might be truly exhausted. So when they do have the bandwidth and you give them the brief, you might find that they even have more questions about things. Like they want to interact and talk about other stuff, or they might tell you a story about their life that's related. Because if you're married to somebody neurotypical, they might not do that. They might just listen. But if you're married to somebody neurospicy, you're going to have all kinds of like comparative stories that actually bring on more conversations. Like, "Oh yeah, that thing you did, that reminds me of the time I did blah 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 blah." Yeah, okay, cool. Like today I had an entire 20-minute conversation with my husband about Quonset huts, and the different ways to build them, because I'd helped my mom build one a few years ago, and my husband's going to be building one for a neighbor, and we were like just having a discussion on how to build Kwanzaa huts. And he was like, okay, well, I haven't done one that way before. I'm like, oh, depends on like this and this, but we found that this method worked. And so, yeah, he was like taking in my insight into that, because I have helped be part of one of those projects to build one. But you never know. You never know what the conversation will be about, which also, because I can be a little ADHD at times, I was like, yeah, this is, remember when I helped my mom do that and I got this scar on my leg and then this happened? And he's like, oh yeah, the scar. I'm like, yeah, the scar. That's where that came from. And that might bring up other scars. And, you know, my husband will be like, yeah, that's, remember when I got this scar on this finger when I was building the office? Yeah, I remember your scar. So anyway, funny things will come up. It's just like little stories and like little reminders of all the things that you've like lived through together. They'll come up too. And those are really great ways to connect with your partner as well. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about the fun things we can do to have everyday intimacy. And I know I've been kind of telling you guys some personal stories, but I find that, I don't know, for me, I learn a lot from people's personal stories so that they can like relate to maybe that to their own life. Like, yes, I discussed a composting toilet in an off-grid bathroom, but not a lot of people have that. But it might be just your regular bathroom, right? Maybe you're just doing things and doing acts of service around the house. And if your partner does do acts of service, even though, yes, everybody in the household should do the cleaning and the chores, 100% I agree with that. And everybody can also give each other gratitude for doing them and accomplishing those things. So yeah, whatever role you think you're supposed to or not supposed to be in, if your partner makes you food, say thank you. You know, I think growing up when I was little, I was so grateful for food that like 99% of the time I said thank you for supper, especially to my grandma. Like, I don't know, I think because I knew like my grandma had like a heart operation when I was little, and I knew that it was touch and go, like she could die. She did die later on in my life. She would have been 103, but she died in her late 80s. She died, maybe she had just, yeah, 80s, late 80s. She was really important to me because she was the person who delivered a few of my love languages that my mom couldn't deliver. They were just not in her wheelhouse. And that didn't make my mom a bad mom by any means, guys. It just wasn't her thing. Like hugs were not her thing, but hugs were my grandma's thing. So I would get hugs from my grandma whenever we'd visit. And she would also make like my favorite food. And some of my favorites when I was a kid was like applesauce meat. And that applesauce meat, for those of you who don't know what that is, was pork. I had like a real thing where I didn't want to know that it was an animal. So my grandma renamed all of the food we ate that was like animal based, and she would rename it into other things that my brain could manage. So like applesauce meat was pork, and I could deal with that because I would like slather it in apple. I would slather like a pork roast in applesauce, and then I could eat that. And then like chicken was had to do with the stuffing, so it was like stuffing meat, and I could eat the stuffing more. So even though it had like all the animal fats in it, but I couldn't wrap my brain around that. And she was really good at just, you know, trying to help a kid who had like real things around food to have nutrition. And where was I going with that story? So like her little ways of showing love by doing those, making those foods, I was always so grateful. So I would say thank you to her for that. And I would, you know, say like literally say thank you for making supper. And she was really sweet about it because I don't remember if other people like thanked her for supper. I don't remember hearing that, but I always remember thanking her for that. And I did like little gestures. I did little silly gestures of gratitude. I had a great grandma who lived to 106. And so she died in 2002. She was born in 1896. I might have talked about her before. And she was amazing. And she was kind of like a bit of a stoic woman, but she had a biting sense of humor that a lot of people maybe didn't always get to see. But she did stuff that was like so hidden and out there and hilarious, like tripping people up with her cane and stuff and like pretending she was sleeping while she did that. But anyway, she was quite a joke. And I would send cards to her, and she would be like 95, 90 something years old. I was like a teenager, and I would send her goofy cards with like silly jokes and like weird shit all over them. And I would craft them up so they, when she would open it, they'd just be like ridiculous things coming out of it. And I'm pretty sure that I was like the only great grandchild that did that, was like send her these goofy cards. So at 105, she ended up going into a nursing home. She lived on her own till then. And at 105, she goes into a nursing home. And between then and when she died, my mom and I went to visit her, and she started to lose her memory as she was in the nursing home. And when she saw me, she thought that I was her sister from way back who had passed on. And it wasn't, obviously, but she was telling me stories about her great granddaughter who had done all these silly, goofy things and called her a cheater at cards and did all of this stuff. So I know that my little gestures stuck with her to the time where she was even having dementia and forgetting who people were when she saw them, but she remembered the stories and she remembered the gestures. So those micro gestures, even though they might seem silly, like sending that crazy little, I sent so many cards, but I specifically remember one that was like St. Patty's Day, and it was just so random. I was like, I would send her like random celebration days. But yeah, St. Patty's Day, I remember sending one that had like strange little leprechauns that I had created all over it. And anyway, this is a strange child. I'm still strange, but anyway, she remembered that stuff. And so micro gestures matter. Just like microaggressions matter when people are like being microaggressive at you, and like whether they're being passive aggressive, you remember that stuff. You remember the micro kindnesses. somebody could just open a door for you, and you'll probably remember that as much as you'll remember telling you somebody telling you in a lineup in the store to F off, more than you're going to maybe remember who came to your birthday party when you were six. You know, you might remember those little things because they are big indicators, as especially when it comes to like people you don't know, the like opening the door or whatever. Those little gestures help people be and feel seen. And once you allow people to be and feel seen, they can go out into the world in a different way, and they will shine their light in a different way, and they're going to attract people, and they're going to feel more loved. And, you know, it just, it makes the world better, right? So let's have more micro gestures. So, you know, we can have all these things that we can do for people, or we can know that we can do these. Like I can tell you about the things I did for my great grandma, but it doesn't matter. If it's like, well, that's a nice story. But then if you think about it and you're like, oh, is there somebody that I could send a card to that would be silly and fun and playful and brighten their day? Yes, maybe. How much would that cost you? Probably free. You probably have a piece of paper. You might have some markers. I made all my cards. None of them were like from the store. I made all of them, crafted them. Make something. Send it to somebody just to bring them a little light in their day. And my child is like that too. It's not all the time that you get like, micro gestures of kindness, but every once in a while you'll know, like something will happen. And then you're like, oh, nice. You get a little gesture of kindness. And the more we can do these for each other, the more that we feel loved and seen and heard. And you know what? It makes your relationship grow. That intimacy grows. So how do you translate that over to your lovers? Well, you can do the same thing. So you can write little notes, right? You can, we talked about the morning touch where you can hug or kiss or whatever that happens to be, throw yourself on your partner as a blanket if they like that. I like that. I like that feeling of being a blanket and also having a blanket, a human blanket on me. You can have gratitude for each other, just even for being alive or different things, especially like if somebody's delivering your love language, whether it is touch or whatever it is, but saying thank you for that. So when my husband and I first got together and we were dating, he kind of giggled at me at times when I would thank him for allowing me to give him blowjobs. And I was like, no, I'm really grateful that you allowed me to do that. To me, that was like, you allowed your vulnerability, you allowed me to be part of this. And he was like, okay. I think he thought it was a little weird at first, but I'm all about gratitude. So share your gratitude. Like, thank you so much for allowing me to touch your body. I'm so grateful that you allowed that. It's an honor. And the more you realize it, it's such an honor when people let you touch them. It's such a gift. Like when people come to me for sessions and they let me touch them, I'm like, wow, this is a huge deal. They might just be like, I'm in pain, do this for me. I'm like, okay, this is a huge deal that you're letting me touch you. It's such a vulnerable act. You know, moving their bodies and that they could be, you know, potentially they could be in more pain if I didn't know what I was doing, right? So it's such an honor to be able to work on people. And it's an honor to be able to be a lover to somebody. So let them know that it's an honor and that you appreciate it and you're grateful for it. You can just laugh with each other because life is funny, guys. Like, we need to laugh more. And so taking the time to have like inside jokes together or just little things that will make you laugh, that will also build your everyday intimacy. Like, when was the last time you laughed with your partner? Is it, if it's been more than a day, you need to get on that. If it's been years, then there's something seriously lacking. Like, I do know people who've probably gone years without laughing with each other or at each other, even just in a silly, fun way, like somebody being silly intentionally to make their partner laugh. If you haven't laughed at your or with your partner in over a day, it's time to get on that, because laughter, we know the saying laughter is good medicine, but it's also partly brings in those happy hormones. It'll bring in all those happy hormones that then help you feel more connected to your partner. And you have this shared commonality thing you're laughing at, so you're feeling more connected. Your barriers will go down. And then guess what? So we want to have some laughs. We want to have, you know, pleasurable good times with our partners, don't we? I do. So you can also do micro adventures, like little times where you're going out together. And I know I've told you guys these crazy stories before, but you might not have heard them. My husband is really big on toxic waste dump day. And for several years now, gosh, I don't even know. It's like a ritual for, it's both a ritual and like a fun adventure that we do every time the toxic waste is out in the world. My husband will usually give me like a week or two warning. He's like, "What are you doing Saturday?" I'm like, "I don't know what's happening this Saturday. I might have this or this or this." He's like, "Do you have an hour that we can go to the toxic waste?" And I'm like, "Okay." It makes me laugh every time. So we both laugh at it. It's making us laugh. We make going to the toxic waste dump like a thing. And we laugh and we go there and we get rid of our toxic waste, like our old paint cans and whatever else we can't get rid of in our regular garbage. And it just becomes silly and fun. And so your micro adventures don't have to be like, let's go have romantic candles. It's what you guys create, what's important to you that you can have fun and laugh at. So we'll talk more about different things you can do. And yeah, I'll probably share more silly stories so that can lighten up the mood for you and not make things so serious on how you can build intimacy. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I have been sharing some pretty wacky personal stories with you guys about how we have everyday intimacy in our house, including things like cleaning toilets, going to the toxic waste dump, random acts of gifts and acts of kindness that we do. And guys, when you actually sit back and reflect on those things where somebody has done something sweet or kind or even silly, it will help a it'll help rewire your brain to remember that you love them when even if you're in a mood. But you got to also remember, like, you got to have at least 80% more good days than you have bad days. Some people are having the opposite and they're trying to hold on to the good when a lot of it's just not working. And I've watched a lot of divorce in the last little while because they were people who've been holding on to the grain of something that is working. And it's just not. So yeah, you got to look at what is working and really like dive into that and play with these different ideas that I've mentioned, So I'm going to give you a kind of a rundown too. We talked about the touch, gratitude, checking in with your partner about their day, what they've been doing, what some of their struggles were, what they've been up to. So you're learning about them on a daily basis, laughing at something, going on little adventures like we do to the toxic waste dump. We also just go on adventures to go like get groceries, or we might just go to a bakery and get a coffee and then hang out for half an hour and have like a tiny date while our kid is at work, going dancing or whatever. It really doesn't have to cost a lot of money, guys. You could just go dancing in your own kitchen if you want for free. And then practice presence. It's so important. Spend that time actually spending time, investing time with your partner. And then remind your partner that you love them. It could be, you know, like a wink or a smile or a bum spank or a little weird sound, whatever it happens to be. It helps them know, and it's like a thing that you do with each other, that you're connected. And, you know, whether it's that you're cooking for each other or you're just spending time together, this is, all of these things are so vital. They're so vital to having every day of your life feel like it's worth A, being alive, and B, that everything you're working towards in life, because you're probably not generating money and things like that just to hoard it. You're probably generating it so that you can create something and share it with others, unless you're very selfish and you're just like, it's all for me. But most people are not like that. Most people are like, I want to create so that I can share, so that I can have greater wealth and more people and be surrounded by those that I love and assist the people that I love and make their lives easier. So, you know, the chances are that's why you're creating, and that's why you want to have these micro gestures every day and take that time, invest in your partner every day, little things, so that they feel loved. Because it's quite quick and quite fast that when you're not doing these things, that the love will start to feel like it's fading. It's like leaving and then it's dead. And so you don't want to go from fading, leaving to dead. You want to be able to have it grow, maintain, and then even maybe elevate, and then grow, maintain, and then elevate again and grow, maintain. Always be on that level where you're choosing into loving yourself first, and then your partner is like beneficial to your life, a contribution to your life, and that you also want to contribute to them and share everyday intimacy with them through different things that you can do, whether it's different rituals or different, some people even praying together, right? That's a really great way to share time together too, if that's something that you're into. So there's so many ways you can have intimacy that doesn't involve sex. And so sometimes taking sex off the table for a while, and some people need to do that, take sex off the table to see if their relationship can survive with no sex. And some people's relationship cannot survive without any sex, because that's all that's holding it together. Then you take that off the table and you start to see, do you have intimacy in other ways? Are these gestures, are these elements of love being delivered? Is, you know, what are those core key issues that are actually happening? Where is the love? We always got to come back to where and how is the love being shown, and how is that developing more intimacy? And then as you become intimate with you, yourself, knowing what you require in order to feel loved, then you're able to see it for other people as well. So some people really need quality time. And if you can gift the people who need quality time, they'll be forever grateful to you for that. If it's touch and they need touch and you can deliver that, they will be forever grateful for that. So you can see it oftentimes in what people do every day for themselves, or what they do for you. You know, I really want to do this for you. Okay, well, you might feel like, well, I didn't really need that task done, but okay, like my mom really loves to show love by helping with the dishes. And at first I'd be like annoyed by it, because I'm like, what are you saying? I don't know how to do the dishes. And then I realize, I'm like, oh, it's her acts of service to show love, because she's not a toucher. She does it in her own way. And the more I could see that, the more I understood what I needed for love and that where I felt like I was lacking it, the more I could also see where other people were trying to deliver it to me, but I wasn't accepting it as love. And then I could see how they were giving me love. And then I could accept that, receive that, and also notice that if they weren't able to deliver that, is there somebody else who could? Like, my mom can't deliver the cuddles, but my husband can and my child can. So those things still get fulfilled. We want to make sure that we fulfill them, but we also need to fulfill those for ourselves. So I will work on myself every day, hands on my own body, so that I have touch for me. And doing those micro gestures for you too on a regular basis are important, whether it's giving yourself a little present here and there, sending yourself a little love note here and there, And then at times, yeah, you might be like, I'm so fed up with doing it for me. I want somebody else to do it for me. That's when those conversations need to come in place. And whoever you're having those conversations with needs to follow through. So I hope they do.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.